came to America when he was 6 months old. He started as a stock boy at the grocery store. Eventually, he owned it. He turned it into the biggest grocery store chain in New York City. He now owns a real estate company worth over $2 billion. He ran for mayor of New York City. He almost won. You can't make this story up. This is the Katz Roundtable with John Catsimatidis.
Everywhere around the world, they come to America.
Good morning, America. This is the Katz Roundtable. John Catsimatidis here Sunday morning. One great show for you today. We have three different U.S. senators to tell us what they feel about what's going on. We have Senator Ted Cruz. We have Senator Ted Budd from North Carolina. Senator Rick Scott. We also have David Malpass, the former president of the World Bank. What's going on in the world economy? Dick Morris. And Dr. Peter Michalos, how do we live longer? Let's start off first with Mike Pompeo, the former Secretary of State, former CIA director. With us today is Mike Pompeo, the former Secretary of State and the former CIA director. The American people want to know what's going on and what's in it for them in the future. Mr. Secretary, what say you?
John, it's great to be with you. It's pretty remarkable to watch both here at home and U.S. interests abroad so challenged today in ways that they haven't been for an awfully long time, whether that's what's going on at Columbia University in New York City or what's taking place in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. There's an awful lot of risk in the world. And then I would add to that a risk that's hard to identify because we've simply refused to close our southern border. And you find yourself in a really challenging, difficult time for the United States.
Our borders are open. The fentanyl is still coming in. There's now talk about we should be worried about the Canadian border, people coming in from there. Our college institutions are under attack and creating havoc. I mean, where do we begin? Where do we end?
John, these issues on our borders, I think that's right to say, not just Canada and the U.S., but think about people who are flying into our airports and overstaying visas. We now have thousands and thousands of Chinese nationals coming across our border, and we don't know at all where they are. You and I have talked about this many times on your show. The risk for the Chinese Communist Party is real. They are now collaborating closely with the Russians in Ukraine and the Iranians by buying energy. And you have a toxic brew that I worry so much. When we have these fighting age male Chinese illegals that we don't know where they are in our country, the risk that someday there is a really bad day here in the United States that outstrips even the horrors of fentanyl and all the money laundering that's taking place is something we need to take seriously. And the next president of the United States has to put as their number one agenda to fix.
If we don't fix it by the next president of the United States, in my heart, I feel we're in trouble.
John, your point's very well taken. Another couple years with this rate of decay, and it's very difficult to figure out how you get back from that, how you put that back in the box. And so there is a real urgency to this. I wish the President Biden felt that urgency, but it's pretty clear that he has no intention of doing a darn thing to make sure that America's borders are sovereign and that we do the right thing enforcing U.S. law to keep Americans safe here at home.
Israel, Iran are saying, well, it's over for the time being. Do you believe in that, or what do you think?
There are for the time being, which is, I couldn't tell you how long this moment will last. It remains the case that the Iranians, through their Hamas terrorists in Gaza, are holding many Israelis prisoner. They're holding some Americans that we pray are still alive in detention in Gaza as well. The rocket fire into Israel from the north, from Lebanon and Hezbollah, continues. And so while it feels like there has been this moment of deterrence or stability, I think that there still remains an awful lot of risk that Iran will attack either Israeli interests or American interests or both in the region.
Of all the migrants that came in, everybody believes that maybe 5 to 10% of them could be bad people. What do we do? I mean, the FBI, does it have enough resources to keep Americans safe?
you've heard Director Ray the last 6 months, or maybe it's 8 months now, talk about the fact that never in his life, he's been in law enforcement a long time, never in his life has he seen, I think he uses the term, so many red lights flashing. So he's sending a message that says he's worried about whether the FBI has the resources to match the threat. And John, to be fair to them, when you have this level of illegal migration and this level of drugs and cartel activity here in the United States, I think that is a task that is gargantuan, and the rate of migration inside the United States makes it very difficult for the FBI to figure out exactly where the threat is coming from, to identify that, and then to take it down. They have been given, dealt a terribly impossible hand because of President Biden's failure to do the most basic fundamental thing, which is to protect the American sovereign borders.
Mr. Secretary, on Ukraine, Congress this week finally voted to help the Ukraine some more. And a lot of our people were fully for it. My only concern is the money being spent properly. Is it being used for the purpose we're sending it for?
That is an incredibly valid concern. And I know some of the folks on the Republican side of the aisle voted no because of that. Some of them had other reasons. We should absolutely do two things, John. The first is make sure this resources are going where they're supposed to. So a lot of this is American equipment being shipped. We should make sure it ends up in the hands of the Ukrainians and not of the bad guys. So there should be deep accountability, deep auditing, all of the things that we know how to do to block and tackle. The second piece of this is not just whose hands does it get into, but I find it so odd that President Biden has pushed so fervently to provide resources to the Ukrainians, but then denies them the ability to use them. That is, says, no, you can't fire at Russians. You can't go after the places from which they're launching aircraft to kill your kids. You can't do the things that would actually hold Putin and his regime at risk. Tonight, the children in Moscow go to bed knowing it's safe, and the kids in Kyiv may well be attacked. We should give the Ukrainians the capacity to do what they need to do to defend their own borders. Just as I wish President Biden wasn't putting handcuffs on the Israeli forces to do what they need to do to keep Israel safe, we should provide that same level of assurance and support to the Ukrainians as well. It's not enough to provide them the tools. We have to allow them to use those tools in a way that can effectively defend their country.
Mr. Secretary, last question. Why isn't the Commander-in-Chief cleaning out the Houthis who are shut down the Red Sea, shut down the Suez Canal, created a new inflation because of the price of oil? What reason could there be?
And it's unexplainable to me. It's literally, maybe it's he doesn't want energy prices to go up even more. I think that's backwards thinking. Remember that one of the first actions of the Biden administration was to say to the Houthis, no, you're no longer terrorists. So maybe there's a little piece that he didn't want to eat the crow required to actually go push back against this threat. But John, we know from where they're firing. We know the positions. We're quite capable of ensuring that they don't interrupt international sea travel, which matters an awful lot to Americans and to the cost of energy and food in our home. We ought to make sure we get that right.
Mr. Secretary, thank you for bringing the American people up to date, and we'll catch up with you again real soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John. Bless you. So long.
Thank you for listening to the Katz Roundtable. We'll be right back right after this break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel, and how you feel can impact your thoughts. Addressing your mind and body connection is the key to improving your overall wellness. Bergen Newbridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen Newbridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130. For an appointment, or newbridgehealth.org.
Welcome back to the Katz Roundtable. With us today is Senator Ted Cruz from the great state of Texas. Senator Cruz, the college campus situation is out of control. some of these people are being paid. It seems like the tents are the same color, the same tents all over the place. How do we determine who's paying these people?
Well, John, what we're seeing is horrific. You're right that there's clearly significant money behind these anti-Semitic protests. There has been considerable speculation that George Soros's networks of foundations is funding it. We know that his network of foundations has funded a lot of anti-Israel activity over the years. Fundamentally, what we're seeing on the campus of Columbia, on the campus of NYU, on the campus of Yale, is absolutely disgusting. These are rabidly anti-Semitic, angry leftists. They are threatening the safety of Jewish students. And I will tell you, over the weekend, it was really sad. The Orthodox rabbi at Columbia University sent out an email to every Jewish student at the university advising Jews, go home, do not stay at Columbia, go home and stay home for an extended period of time, because Columbia University is not willing and not able to protect your safety. What an incredible indictment. I'll tell you, John, every Jewish student bring a class action lawsuit against Columbia University right now and demand the return of their tuition. Columbia has canceled their classes. They're forcing students to take classes remotely. And why? Because the administrators are terrified of the campus radicals, and the administrators and the faculty agree with the campus radicals. They agree with the chants. You listen to the chants that we've heard on the campus of Columbia, chants that are explicitly Hamas, that are praising the terror activities, the murders, the rapes, the grotesque atrocities of Hamas. This is where our young college students are right now, and their minds are being poisoned by the radicals who have taken over so many of our elite institutions.
Some of these people are not our students. Some of these people are visitors to the university. Some of these people are illegal aliens. If these people are threatening the United States of America and they're not legally here or they're visitors, shouldn't they be deported?
Absolutely, yes. Look, it is straightforward how sane, rational administrators, how sane, rational elected officials, how sane, rational law enforcement would handle this. Any so-called protester that threatens violence, that threatens the safety of another student, should be arrested. They should be prosecuted. If they are a student, they should be expelled. If they are a professor, they should be fired. And if they are not American, if they are from a foreign country, they should be deported. When you see radicals that the Biden administration is letting into this country chanting death to Israel and death to America, we have no obligation to welcome people to this country who chant death to America. You don't have an entitlement to come in on a student visa. And if you're here as a radical wishing death on the American people, you need to get the hell out and go back to the country you came from.
Now, Senator, you've also always been a man of the law, and it seems like the Supreme Court rules and the White House and President Biden doesn't pay attention. What is going to happen to our country? Is there a rule of law?
Well, rule of law has been more threatened and more undermined and more damaged in the last 3.5 years than any time in our nation's history. And John, I got to say, look, you're in New York City. You're in the heart of left-wing radicalism. You hear all the time from liberal Democrats who accuse Donald Trump of being an authoritarian, of being a dictator. That's part of their talking points. They also, they love to beat their chest. Democrats love to beat their chest and say, we're defending democracy. And I got to say, John, it's actually a remarkable thing. Sigmund Freud has got to be turning over at his grave, because the left engages in a psychological projection at a level that I've never seen. They talk about lawlessness. Joe Biden is the most lawless president this country has ever seen. We see it at our southern border, where he defies federal law and simply releases illegal aliens into this country. 11 million illegal aliens since Joe Biden became president, the worst in our history. We see it. You talk about him ignoring the rule of law, ignoring the Supreme Court. We saw right before the last election, Joe Biden issued an order that tried to give away $1 trillion in student loan forgiveness. The only problem is, under federal law, the president doesn't have the ability to just give away $1 trillion. That actually takes Congress passing legislation. He knew that, but he was nakedly trying to buy votes, and it may have succeeded. There may have been some voters who were duped by that. Now, we know what happened. The Supreme Court struck it down, said it's lawless. You don't have the authority to give away $1 trillion of taxpayer money. And what is he doing now? He's doing it again. He's just ignoring the Supreme Court. He's trying to give the money away again. And he's really gambling that young people are stupid. That's what Joe Biden believes. Number one, he's throwing blue-collar workers under the bus. If you're a truck driver, if you're a steel worker, if you're a taxi cab driver, Joe Biden is saying you don't matter, and he's going to take your tax dollars and give it to wealthy gender study majors who are standing right now in the Plaza of Columbia protesting and chanting death to America. He's going to give your money to them. He's also counting on the young people that they're not very bright. That's what the Democrats believe, because this student loan giveaway is going to be struck down as well. But he thinks young people don't know it. And let me say finally, John, Democrats talk about defending democracy. Joe Biden and the Democrats have waged the greatest assault on democracy our country has ever seen. Number one, four different cases indicting Donald Trump, prosecuting him, including the ridiculous trial unfolding in New York right now. Every one of them is about stopping democracy, because the Democrats are terrified the American people are going to vote in November to reelect the president. And let's be clear, Democrats in Colorado, in Illinois, and in Maine threw Trump off the ballot, because nothing says defending democracy like ruling the voters cannot vote for your opponent. Now, thankfully, the Supreme Court unanimously reversed those lawless decisions, but we are seeing a lawless assault from the Democrats every day, and it keeps getting worse.
We got a minute left. Anything else that is on your mind today?
Well, look, I'll say that I'm running for reelection in the state of Texas, and it is a serious fight. My last race, I won by less than 3%. So I want to encourage your listeners, go to tedcruz.org. If you want a strong senator fighting for your liberty, fighting for the Constitution, fighting against the lawlessness of the radical left, then I need your help. Please go to tedcruz.org, and you have my word. I will continue to fight every day with every breath in my body to defend your freedom and your constitutional rights.
Senator Ted Cruz, thank you, and thank you for everything you do for the state of Texas and the whole country. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my friend. God bless.
The Cats Roundtable.
With us today is Senator Ted Budd. He is the senator from North Carolina. Senator, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Great to be with you. Thanks for having me in, John.
Tell us, what do you think the biggest threats are to the United States right now? And, you know, I'm worried. I'm sure you're worried.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, one of our greatest threats is actually our national debt and our spending patterns. So that's huge, but people don't focus on that. But I'd say the main debt that people are worried about right now is our southern border and the threats that have come across. Almost 10 million people have come across undocumented. It's an awful challenge. You're feeling it here in the city. You're feeling it in North Carolina. We have 100 counties in North Carolina. I've talked with sheriffs all across the state, and they said every single county in North Carolina is now a border county because of Joe Biden's policies. I mean, you're seeing in one rural county in North Carolina a sheriff doing a traffic stop, finding enough fentanyl to kill everyone in the state of North Carolina. It's absolutely heartbreaking.
I've heard that from Governor Youngkin's wife, and it's just it's spread all over the place. You know, the fentanyl, are the Chinese getting even for us for the opium wars of yesteryear?
Well, it would seem that if you open the aperture of history and you look back, you would think that they were doing that. But simply, it's an opportunity. I mean, they're shipping the precursor ingredients to Mexico. It either gets then shipped into the U.S. and assembled, or assembled in Mexico and managed by the cartels and trafficked by the cartels, along with human trafficking, which was another huge business boon for the cartels. And about a third of the females that are being trafficked into the U.S. have been sexually abused, and it's just absolutely horrific. So I would say border and crime is kind of one package people are concerned about. The other would be inflation and prices, and a lot of that's it's regulatory. It's international unrest that Joe Biden's allowed to happen. It's American weakness. These are all fixable things. We still have the guts of greatness to be an amazing country, but Joe Biden's allowed tremendous weakness, which was really first seen in August of 2021 with the failure in Afghanistan and the precipitous withdrawal. That really opened the doors for all these international chaos incidents that we're seeing right now, whether it's October 7th in Israel, whether it is Ukraine being invaded unjustly by Russia, or whether it's China saber-rattling at Taiwan. All that is from Joe Biden's weakness.
And I guess it all started with even Saudi Arabia, our ally forever, had zero respect for the White House or President Biden.
No, and I've been over there. Strength is appreciated, particularly in the Middle East. And when you're weak like this, it allows you to be run over. It allows them to look for other partners, whether it's even having discussions with Iran, Russia, and other potential partners. It's absolutely horrific.
Now, the big three things that I look at in the United States is the fentanyl problem, the border control problem, and our schools. Our schools and are under attack. Our universities are under attack. And it's horrible. I mean, where is the rule of law?
Well, this is really part of the long march. It's a 100-year march, starting with our educational institutions. And it really kind of operates on the spectrum of Marxism. So it's a social Marxism now, but it's about oppressor versus oppressed. And that I think that's a false dichotomy. I think as America, we're very unique. We're all in this together. But once you start dividing people, whether it's along racial lines or economic lines, you begin creating vulnerabilities that you can exploit. And that's what the left's doing right now.
And we are shipping over a lot of money now. And it was almost a bipartisan situation to the Ukraine and to Israel. My personal feelings are, look, Putin is a bad guy or whatever, and we have to support Ukraine. But is there any checks and balances on the Ukraine? I mean, I hear so many bad rumors about what the heck is going on there.
The people in support of Ukraine will say, well, there's 65 or so inspectors general over there that are tracking the money. But if you got 65, you might as well have none. What you need is one inspector general. There's been legislation that I supported, unfortunately didn't pass, to have one inspector general that oversaw anything going into Ukraine, which really would give confidence to the American people. I did a telephone town hall across North Carolina a few months back, and I said, if you knew that our southern border was secure, would you be willing to support Ukraine? 2/3 of the people said yes. And so I was not supportive of this recent package. I'm supportive of many of the elements in it. I'm not an isolationist. I think we need to be engaged on all these fronts. But you got to deal right here at home first, and then out of that you deal with the rest of the world, and you need to have accountability when you do it.
Senator, I agree with you 100%. They should have taken care of our own borders at the same time. I mean, we're worried about the Ukraine border. We're worried about the Israeli border. Shouldn't we worry about the United States border?
Well, in China, again, saber-rattling against Taiwan as well. There's three border crises internationally and one right here at home. If you think about it as four border crises together, then you have to start here at home.
We got a minute left. Tell me, Senator, what would you like to get off your chest?
Well, first of all, thank you again for having me. It's great to be in the great city of New York. And I just want to tell you, from as a North Carolinian, our concerns there are the concerns here, and that is about American strength. It's about the southern border, and it's about the economy. We need a president. We need a Senate. We need a House, and we got to get not only win, we got to win for a long time, and we got to do what we said we were going to do when we get there. And that's the mission for Republicans. I think we're going to win the Senate. We got a lot of work to do. I believe we can win the House. Mike Johnson was here recently. Glad to have him up here. He's a great colleague of mine when I was in the House. But we got to win to save our country.
Well, Senator Ted Budd, thank you so much for telling the American people and how you really feel. And I just hope there's a change November 5th.
Well, thanks for having me in. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Cats Roundtable. We'll be right back right after this break. Welcome back to the Cats Roundtable. If you ever miss a segment or want to hear it again, go to WABCRadio.com, go to podcasts, go to minicasts, and play back your favorite segment.
Nibbling on sponge cake, watching the sun bake.
What is today is Senator Rick Scott from the great state of Florida, and so many things are happening out there. Senator Scott, tell me what the things you're concerned about the most.
Well, the first thing is, the Senate this week passed a bill that is going to do nothing, absolutely nothing, to secure the U.S. border. Nothing. There's nothing. The Senate's going to, you know, the House and Senate spent $95 billion and nothing for the border. Number two is it's got $9 billion that can potentially go to Gazans to help Hamas. So think about what's happened. So I think most of us were clear we want to help Israel, but I don't want to help the group of people that are holding American hostages. There's 8 Americans held, 5 alive that we believe, 3 dead. And the this makes no sense. On top of that, what's going on at our universities like Columbia is crazy. It's crazy and it's scary.
Right. It is absolutely, but it is, Senator, it's spreading. Columbia, MIT, Harvard, NYU. I mean, in the one answer I can't get, they arrested 250 kids or something like that in Columbia and NYU, and the DA already released them with no charges, no record on it, and and the answer I can't get is how many of them are actually students and how many of them are actually just showing up?
Okay, so they get away with doing this and attacking the Jewish students, right? Okay, and spewing hate. But then Donald Trump, in contrast, Donald Trump, right, gets accused of trying to win an election. Oh, shocking. There has to be something wrong with that. So, but what's going on where these people support Hamas, which killed babies? I was just in Israel a few weeks ago, and I saw where babies were beheaded, girls were raped, people were burned alive, people were shot at point blank just for being a Jew. This is disgusting. If these people hate our country, get the hell out of our country. But if you're going to spew hatred, if you're going to attack Jewish students, you need to be going to jail and serving your time for violating the law.
I came here when I was 6 months old, Senator. And when I was 6 years old, I went down to get my American citizenship papers. And I had to swear allegiance to the United States of America. And these people coming over the borders, they don't have to do anything.
Oh, no. They don't have to do anything. They have to show IDs. We don't even know who they are. We know nothing. So first of all, you know, going back to Columbia, if you're a donor to Columbia University, stop. If you're a board member, if you're not going to hold your administration accountable, you should resign. Because what you're doing, by doing nothing, you're allowing anti-Semitism and hatred to go on. But our border is wide open. You don't have to. We don't know who's coming. We do know that Director Wray from the FBI said there's terrorist cells all over our country today. We know that, you know, we know that Lake and Riley would be alive today, but for Biden's completely intentionally open border. You know, he came to Florida today, and I assumed he came for the ice cream and the beaches. But guess what? He's down there, and what we did is make sure he never forgets about what's going on. He's the problem. We've had 3 years or what, 3 or 4 months of Joe Biden, and look at where we are. We've got inflation. We've got communism, or socialism. We got terror cells. We got the world's war. I mean, we cannot take more of this, more of the Joe Biden America. It's horrible for every family in this country.
Senator Scott, this is Rita Cosby. It's great to talk with you again. You also wrote a really powerful column saying we can't trust Joe Biden to stand with Israel. I mean, he is waffling. You bring up a great point. There he is in Florida. And yesterday when he was asked finally to make a statement, he equated Israel with, you know, with the pro-Palestinians. I mean, he doesn't seem to be standing with our greatest ally and the world's on fire.
Well, first off, so I don't know why anybody supports Iran, anybody supports the Houthis, anyone that supports Hezbollah, or anyone that supports Hamas. Why would you do that? They want to demolish yours and my and our family's ways of life. That's what they want to do. They sponsor terrorism. They kill people and they exploit it on television just because they're Jewish, all right? And so, and this president, he cannot stand with Israel. Think about it. Schumer goes on the Senate floor and says Netanyahu, the elected leader of the only democracy in the Middle East, should be kicked out of office. And they act like Hamas is, I mean, they're good. Now think about it. Hamas doesn't support equality. There's nobody they support. What they, you know, there's nothing we believe in that Hamas believes in. But what this Biden administration, they're kowtowing because there's a few votes they think they might be able to pick up in the Detroit area. And they're out there, you know, oh, I got it. They just want to win the election. They don't care about what goes on in our country. That's exactly what's going on. It's just
and on Tuesday, Nancy Pelosi went along with Senator Schumer. And
oh, of course. I mean, these guys are all in on it. They've forgotten that we respect people's religion, right? We respect it. It's a part of the reason why we have the United States of America. It was based on religious freedom, okay? You don't attack somebody else's because they're a different religion than you. We don't do that. We accept other people's religion, all right? But what they're saying is, oh, if you're Jewish, we don't, you know, it's okay for Democrats. Democrats don't like Jews. They don't like Israel. Look at their actions. We tried to push the Israel aid for months. We had four different votes, and the Democrats blocked it every time because all what they wanted was they wanted more money for Hamas. They wanted money for Ukraine, and they had wanted to have nothing to do with the border. I couldn't get a bill that just said this. I couldn't get a bill that said that on this vote to say that we will not allow any money to go into Gaza unless we're sure it doesn't go to Hamas. That's not
unbelievable.
That's amazing.
Well, we're in a bizarro world. But Senator Rick Scott, thank you for giving us your input and letting all the American people knowing what the heck is going on. And we'll be talking to you again real soon. Thank you so much.
The Cats Roundtable.
With us today is David Malpass. David Malpass has served as U.S. Treasury Undersecretary under the Trump administration, World Bank presidents in 2019 to 2023. And the prior 24 years, he was the leading Wall Street economist and columnist with the Forbes and the Wall Street Journal. David, give us an update. What's going on in the world economy?
Hi, John. And yeah, I think we're in a stagflation period that showed up in the GDP data yesterday. That means slow growth and still severe inflation. The prices of things have gone up and they're not going to go back down. We're suffering from a shortage of energy. You know, energy is really the core of lots of production processes. They're not giving the permits out. And nuclear power, you know, doesn't get enough traction and should, because we're going to need lots more electricity into the future. And the final point I'll make to you, John, is people seem comforted. It's in the Wall Street Journal today by the idea that the U.S. is doing better than other countries. But what they don't recognize, that means the world is having severe slow growth. And so that hurts people around the world. And they come to the U.S. And so you've got this kind of circular process where the U.S. government uses up all the money in the world, doesn't leave enough for small businesses, which are hurting, and for foreign countries to grow. And we end up stuck with the problems in the end. It's going on and deepening, and I'm worried about it.
It seems like we have almost a war on our hands between Hamas, the Russians, the Hezbollah, the Houthis that closed down the Red Sea and closed down the Suez Canal and keeping the price of oil up high, keeping the price of food high. And now we were expecting interest rates to drop, and they're not going to drop because inflation is high. What say you?
That's right. And I don't know if you saw today, Niger, which is this country in the middle of Africa, we had to close our base, and it turns over the power to Russia and to China. They're in the ascendancy. I was in lots of the international meetings with world leaders, and I have to tell you, the weakness of the U.S. exudes itself in every meeting. The U.S. is turning over power to outsiders, to, you know, foreigners, and they then cause the regulation into the U.S. So there's this almost diabolical circle where the U.S. government gives power to foreigners who uses it against the U.S., and that means the financial regulatory power, the climate power, and we end up regulating ourselves, and nobody else does it. And so that's showing up in the Middle East. It also, one thing I think we really have to worry about is Putin is using his strategies to get ahead. He's getting a lot of money for oil. He's now establishing oil conduits to China and to India. And so he wins when the U.S. is weak. We're, you know, it used to be we would talk about peace through strength, but what we're getting now is war and chaos through U.S. weakness that is evident in the United Nations, in all of the international organizations where the U.S. is getting shellacked.
Now, I jokingly say, because I don't really know what the real number is, and I wonder if you know what it is, that because of the price of oil and the price of food going up and the money moved from North America to, I say that $1 trillion has moved from North American wealth to Russia, the OPEC nations, China. How much do you think that real number is because of what has happened the last 2.5-3 years since President Biden has got elected?
I think it's more than that, because I want to bring in the opportunity cost, meaning the U.S. could have produced 3 million more barrels per day of oil, and natural gas could have been exported. We could have been developing our nuclear industry, and that. And so I think you have to add into the number, the direct number that you're talking about is just the cost of oil being $80 rather than $50. And so that ends up harming and transferring a lot of wealth to countries that subsidize their energy somehow. But I think the even bigger problem is we could be a bigger productive source of energy in the world, and that would help everybody. That would help Americans, but it also helps anybody that's not working for the Russians.
We got about a minute or so left. What do you want to get off your chest?
The urgency of all this. I think we're being complacent. People say, well, we're doing okay. We're doing better than others in the world. But when you look at it, you're not reinvesting, and small businesses are really dying on the vine. The growth forecasts for the U.S. are only like 2% per year. That's the CBO kind of forecast out into the future. And for many small businesses, that means they have to close down. Fine for big businesses. They get low bond yields, and they think they're doing well, and the stock market goes up. Rich people do well. But for average Americans, these are very challenging times.
Last question. I'm going to put you on the spot. There was supposed to be originally 3 interest rates dropped this year. Right now, they're predicting maybe 1. Any gut feeling? And just this is just an opinion for the rest of the year.
You can't forecast it today because you need to know how much damage is the Biden administration going to do through all these regulations that they're putting out. They're slowing the economy, so that keeps the inflation up so we don't get the rate cut. But I also want to say I wish people would not spend so much time on the interest rates and realize that the regulations coming out of the government are the thing that are also dragging the economy down.
David Malpass, former president of the World Bank, thank you for your wisdom. We'll catch up again real soon.
Thanks, John.
You are listening to the Cats Roundtable. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Cats Roundtable. With us today is Dick Morris. He knows Washington. He knows the country. And he was consultant to President Bill Clinton, President Donald Trump. Dick Morris, there's so many things happening in this country right now. Give us a pulse of what you think is going on.
Well, John, the key thing is the rise, not of anti-Semitism, of Nazism in the United States. You know, the Biden administration loves to talk about white supremacy and to hunt for any evidence of it, and as such, there's very little of it. But there is a growing and huge amount of Nazism, of anti-Semitism going on in the country, particularly on our college campuses. And let's stop pretending it's anti-Semitism. It's the rise of Nazism and advocating extermination of the Jews. And one of the protesters at Columbia the other day said, "We are Hamas. We are Al-Qassam," which is the brigade of Hamas that slaughtered 1,200 Jews in October. The issue is, what is Biden and what is the country going to do about it? President Trump has recommended that the colleges that tolerate this kind of conduct lose their federal scholarship aid, their government contracts, and that any student convicted of any of this, of hate speech or any of this, lose their scholarships, and also if they're foreign students, have their visas revoked. And this is just the kind of thing that is absolutely necessary. We have to stop this. We need to tolerate free speech. We do not need to tolerate hate speech.
And tell me, I've seen the movies and the videos of the attacks on the agitation in Columbia at NYU. Mm-hmm. How many of these are students, and how many of them are paid agitators?
Well, there are a great many paid agitators, and it turns out that George Soros, who is himself a survivor of the Holocaust, has been funding a great many of them. Let me clarify that. Soros was complicit in the Holocaust. He worked closely with the Gestapo and the Nazis during the Holocaust in Hungary, and he apparently has not learned his lesson and is now funding the same kind of activity on college campuses. I think that the important thing for us to realize is that in the summer of last year, when the riots were sweeping the cities, there was a great deal of focus, as there should have been, on police brutality and the murder of various innocent people by the police. But now we're facing something just as serious, just as widespread, that affects Jews. And to see the left of the Democratic Party sympathizing with them, standing with them, demonstrating on their behalf, is not only disgusting, it's terrifying. And I think that we have to recognize the outbreak of Nazism and anti-Semitism on American campuses and take strong action to stop it.
Dick Morris, you're going to be on at noontime today, from noontime to 2 o'clock on WABCradio.com. And what are you going to talk about at noontime?
Well, in particular, I'm going to be welcoming on the show Tina Forte, who is running against AOC for Congress this year. And AOC just endorsed the Nazi anti-Israel, anti-Jewish protests at Columbia. So we're going to talk about that and the rise of Nazism in the guise of progressive Democratic Party that we're watching here in New York.
Well, I'll be looking forward to listening to you. Thank you so much, and we'll catch up with you later. I'll be listening at noontime. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
The Katz Roundtable.
With us today is my good friend, Dr. Peter Michalos, and our motto is live long and prosper. Dr. Peter Michalos, tell us, what do you have in mind today so we can all live longer?
Well, some very exciting news. I think probably one of the most major findings that should probably be all over the newspapers about the relationship between sugar, insulin, cancer, diseases, aging, Alzheimer's. And what happened is that in the publication called Nature, which is probably the most prestigious scientific journal in the world, that's where, for example, DNA was first announced, a team of scientists have been studying for the last 10 years in 26 centers around the world, and two of the leading scientists, one was Andreas Baer and the other one was Argiris Papandonis from Cologne, Germany, published these papers, and they found that what drives aging is related, has to do a lot with sugar and insulin. And basically what drives aging and what can we do to slow it down is the real issue that was discussed in this. And there's something called gene transcription. And that's the process of how cells make copies of the DNA strands that are the building blocks of our bodies. It's basically the information that's needed to make the new proteins. Genes give cells a purpose, so it knows to become skin, nerve, blood vessel, bone. And what happens is that that copying process goes faster as we age, and it makes more copying mistakes, which leads us to diseases and faster aging. So what happens, and what's the mechanism? And they found that we know from a lot of other studies that low-calorie diets block insulin from being signaled, And the lower insulin levels they found slows the copy machine. You make less copying mistakes and errors. And basically, as we're making those body parts have less errors. So that means longer life and less diseases, less cancer, less Alzheimer's. And this is a major, major finding. And one of the things that when people do blood tests, nobody ever checks your insulin levels. And sometimes before you even become a diabetic, you see a pattern where your insulin level is rising, but your hemoglobin A1C, which measures what your sugar was the last 90 days, and your blood glucose level is normal, but your insulin level is rising, that can be a warning sign that diabetes is coming around the corner. So this just confirms and it just reminds our audience that one of the main ways to live long and prosper is to try to eat less, try to eat in a time-restricted window to give time for your body to rest and recover. And if you can do whatever you can and avoid those fine carbohydrates to keep those sugar levels under control, therefore
now, doctor,
lower insulin levels.
That new medicine they have, Ozempic, has it been working on patients? And what have you seen happening with that?
Well, the problem is that there's a lot of issues, like with all things, that sometimes too good to be true. It slows down the whole gastrointestinal tract and the emptying time of the stomach. And now there's actually a whole bunch of lawsuits related to that are popping out because of intestinal obstruction cases. So does it work? Yes, it does work. Does it help a lot? Yes. But I think that doctors are going to start finding that they might use it for short-term uses and use it over a shorter period of time. But it's not the answer forever. You know, the bottom line, as we all know, is that if you want to lose weight, you got to cut down the carbs, the sugar, and I call the DFE diet. Don't freaking eat as much. So that's really what slows things down. But and also the artificial sweeteners, they also go in your mouth and it tells the brain that, oh, wow, there's sugar in me. And that also messes up because it tells the brain, okay, let's get some insulin going out. So our whole metabolism gets messed up with artificial sweeteners as well.
So the artificial sweeteners, I've cut them out, but
no,
the artificial sweeteners, explain that to people because not everybody understands it. That fools the brain.
It fools the brain because when it goes into your mouth, it fools the brain and you think that you have sugar in there. So you're getting ready to shoot out a bunch of insulin. Then when you do, your blood sugar gets lower and then you get even hungrier and then you end up eating even more. So you think, oh, wow, zero calories, but not exactly. And also the microbiome, which are all the good bacteria that are in our mouth and our gut, they get confused too because they think they're going to be getting nutrition and sugar and energy. Meanwhile, those are blanks. And that confuses and disrupts the entire process in our gut microbiome, which we now know is 80% of our immune system comes out of our gut. So it also is disturbing that. And that explains a lot of the problems that we're having, in my opinion, based on all the research and science. So for live long and prosper, eat less, consider intermittent fasting, time-restricted feeding, less sugar. You're going to eat bread. Sourdough bread has one of the lowest glycemic indexes, so that's a good choice for bread. And just keep listening so you can live long and prosper and get more healthy living tips and the latest research from around the world.
Thank you, Dr. Peter Michalos. Thank you so much, and we'll catch up with you again real soon.
Thank you, John, and thanks for always getting the truth out on the Cats Roundtable.
The Cats Roundtable.
If you ever miss a segment or want to hear it again, go to WABCRadio.com, go to podcasts, go to minicast, and play back your favorite segment. Thank you for listening to the Cats Roundtable. Every Sunday morning, we'll bring you the latest in what's happening in our community, our country, and the world. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Have a nice Sunday.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.